This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Golic, our fantasy football league is starting up, and as commissioner, I wanted to talk to you about a rule change.
Ah, Fantasyville.
Wait a minute, what rule change? I'm proposing we institute a sausage cap for your game day parties.
Sausage cap? What does that even mean?
It means we're restoring competitive balance to your grill. You can't just let the Johnsonville sausage dominate this season.
First of all, Greeny, your authority as commissioner of Fantasyville does not extend to my grill. And why wouldn't I let the Johnsonville sausage dominate? I always win when I serve those juicy Johnsonville brats, Italian sausages, with the perfect blend of spices, smoked sausages prepared slowly over natural hardwood.
Well, I get it, but how about a little love for my grilled fruit and gorgonzola salad?
Gorgonzola salad? I think we're headed for a lockout.
A lockout?
Yes, as in you're locked out of my house every Sunday.
Visit Johnsonville.com and sign up for the Athlon Sports Fantasy Rush for 2,000 Yards Challenge for your chance to win everything you need for a fully furnished fan cave, including a 52-inch flat-screen TV, surround sound, a new grill, and tons of your favorite game day gear. It's yours to win courtesy of Johnsonville Sausage. Johnsonville Sausage is all we do.
At the KXPN Studios News Desk, I'm Merritt Lawson. Local radio hosts Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis will no longer have speaking roles on Wednesdays. Due to Big Red Lunch's Loperlink and Bob Jensen, there's just no more room in the show for them.
Au contraire, bonjour.
You know we couldn't keep the guys out of the show. So despite a busy show, the guys will get you ready for all your favorite high school teams, your UNK Lopers, and the Nebraska Huskers. Now live at one of your Big Red Lunches, here's Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show as we are on the road once again at Grand Island Home Federal as we are getting ready for our first Husker Lunch of 2010. Our Big Red Lunches begin today. Sean Callahan will be on hand, and we're looking forward to having a great day here with giveaways and a whole lot more, as every Wednesday either Sean Callahan or Steve Sipple, Huskers Illustrated and the Lincoln Journal Star, will be in the area and have a little lunch. Then they'll talk a little Husker football. Of course, today, the first one always big, Tony, because Sean gets to answer questions and talk about what is to come. After this week, we will have seen the football team. We will know who the quarterback is. We will know how the injury situation has panned out. But today, everyone's still waiting, still slobbering a little bit, still drooling, getting ready for the 2010 football season.
Well, they're getting ready for it. I wonder if they're still slobbering and drooling, wondering who that quarterback's going to be. You're not going to find out, it doesn't sound like, until Saturday, about 3 o'clock. They were joking with Coach Pelini out in the hallway yesterday. There's about four reporters around him, and one of them said, when are we going to find out? He goes, 3 o'clock on Saturday? He goes, yeah, maybe. And they all just kind of chuckle at that. You're not going to find out before then. Right now, if I had to push all my chips in the middle of the table, from what I was hearing yesterday, I think Caleb Martinez is a starting quarterback. I push them all in the middle of the table and say, that is who my starting quarterback is. Doug, who's your starting quarterback right now?
Well, that's what we're hearing. What we're hearing changes on a moment-to-moment basis. Just when you kind of thought it had went Zach Lee's way, now they're talking Taylor Martinez. It makes sense that it would be Taylor Martinez at this point because the people that think that it could have been Zach Lee or would be Zach Lee say if it's Zach Lee and he's your returning starting quarterback, it would have been a lot easier to make the announcement. And you would have thought a lot easier for the kids who are his backups to take that because they hadn't been the starting quarterback. Zach Lee had been the starting quarterback. They battled well, but Zach Lee didn't do anything to lose that starting quarterback position. Here's the one thing that the coach won't answer, can't answer. He has been asked how Zach is, and supposedly he's 100%. Well, what else is the coach going to say? When this all comes out, maybe Zach hasn't healed properly from his off-season surgery, and maybe that's a big part of this. Maybe it came down to Taylor Martinez and Cody Green. They keep saying it's not a bad thing. Again, they can't come out and say anything that's going to be negative about this football team, so they have to keep a happy face, and maybe that's the one reason, the biggest reason, that we haven't heard yet.
You know, you heard the circus atmosphere quote that surrounds the starting quarterback. You heard that yesterday. You heard him wanting to guard against that. I just think if you don't enter him into the circus versus Western Kentucky, it sure is not going to be a bigger circus when the games are stepped up and amped up on a bigger scale when Idaho comes to town a week from now. I think everybody's going to know that. I don't know why you wouldn't start the kid out and say, yes, he's a starting quarterback against Western Kentucky, and then roll him in, slowly in Idaho instead of next week when everybody knows who the starting quarterback is, saying, well, here the stakes are higher. Taylor, Cody, whoever it is, Zach, whatever, the stakes are higher. Here you go. It's about like you're worth a one-yard line back up against our goal line. Okay, Cody, go in there and see how you do. What? Well, that's a crap position to be put in. Well, I mean, I don't like that.
You're being totally negative right here. You're just being totally negative. Totally negative.
I don't know.
You are harboring your feelings from last year about Cody Green should be the starter. That really doesn't have anything to do with
it.
No, I'm not, but
I'm saying that was a terrible position. They just put him in a terrible position a year ago, and I think you're putting the kid in a bad position right now when you don't start him or you don't tell people who the starter is versus Western Kentucky. Once the stakes, the stakes these first 3 weeks are going to get raised higher, higher, higher. It all culminates in the third week when you go to Seattle.
We'll talk with Shauna just a little bit about that. It doesn't do any good to yell about it now. We'll find out when we find out, and that's what it has come down to. You just figured that everybody would know by now, and now that it's apparent that you're going to have to wait for whoever's named once Bo Pelini and Sean Watson tell that kid, he's going to tell somebody, and then it's going to get out. Whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow night, whether it's Friday night, it will get out before Saturday. You can guarantee yourself that. If it doesn't, then there's some kind of a plan that they have intact. The one thing I do take that's refreshing out of yesterday, and I kept trying to bring it up and nobody else really wanted to talk that much about it, was the running back situation. They flat out said, we want to run the football. You got to have a guy that can handle it back there and run it when he needs to and throw it when he needs to, but they are so amped up on this offensive line and Roy Helu and Rex Burkhead and the stable of running backs that they feel that they're going to be in good shape. We're going to find out a lot more today. Sean Callahan will join us before he speaks here today. Willie Taggart, the head football coach at Western Kentucky, will join us on the show today. Bob Jensen with his weekly Huskerland Prep Report on Wednesdays, talking about how things went in Week 0 and look ahead to some really neat games in Week 1, including a 1-versus-2 matchup in Class A, some good matchups here in the Tri-Cities. We'll talk about that. And Wednesday means our Loper Link. We'll be chatting in just a moment with UNK soccer coach Mike Munch. They've started the season off 1-1. Their home opener against Augustana is coming up on Tuesday. Coach is much more pleased. We knew that when we talked to him before the preseason games, before the scrimmages, before the I guess that's what you would call them, the preseason three games that they had. He was much more confident heading into this season. Now, does that mean they're going to win 10 games? I doubt it. But does it mean that they're going to be much more competitive and probably win more than one? I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right, Doug. And you know what? For the first time all year, when you woke up this morning, did it feel like fall? Was it finally football weather? It was 58 degrees.
Well, it was about a week ago. It was kind of fallish in the morning. It was raining this morning. I mean, when I got up.
Okay.
I got up.
Hey, I got to be honest. You get up well before most, I must admit. But I just thought for the first time, really feels like fall is starting to sit on. Stuff's starting to change in the field. Feels like football.
Well, and folks, 94 when we left yesterday in Lincoln did not feel like football. No, it was very hot and muggy. And, boy, the players usually say, yeah, it was hot and we got through it. And they practiced inside quite a bit. And it was pretty much miserable. These guys were saying the whole time when they were going through practice, just a lot of miserable practices that they had to overcome, and that didn't hold them back at all, but that's where they were at. And so it was interesting talking to Jared Crick and Ben Cotton and Lance Thorell yesterday when we were live with the Doug and Daddy Show down at the press conference in Lincoln just to get their take. But we also know that they are very anxious and quietly confident about this season.
You know, and I think a lot of people got a chance last night to watch the Big Red Report. Steve Stipple was on there. Sean Callahan was on there. They do that every Tuesday night on NET. And, everybody thinks, and everybody listens to Bo Pelini, and he says this defense can be better than last year. And everybody says, oh, Sue's gone. You know what? I thought those guys brought up a great point last night. Eric Olson was also on from the Omaha World Herald.
Associated Press.
He's the one that brought up the fact that he thinks that Philip Dillard was a huge part of that defense. He will have to be. You know, everybody's remembering Sue, Philip Dillard, and then Sip comes back and says, "You know what? Don't forget Asante and Hamlin. Hanlon back there too. We're pretty good." Say, and everybody goes, "Oh, Hamlin, the guy's 20 yards behind him in the Virginia."
That turned. He got burnt one time, and it was caught, and it was in the last minute of the football game. After that, he played very well, and everybody has kind of said, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that good that he's come back and played well? No, he was actually pretty good and got some NFL work.
Yeah, you know what? And I think those are two great points that, question on the defense. Oh, you know what? Backside's loaded. You know, our linebackers, yeah, we lost Sean Fisher, but on and on, and Levante David and this and what. But those guys haven't been on the field. Phillip Dill has proven after last year pretty good. He's still having a great camp with the Giants, according to those guys last night. And then you look at those Sante and O'Hanlon. You know what? They're going to have to replace them. So maybe there are more questions on the defense than people give them credit for.
Well, you can email us anytime to the Dent Pumper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And we'd love to hear from you. 888-455-3776 is the number. Folks are starting to arrive already for Sean Callahan and our first Big Red Lunch here at Grand Island Home Federal. And if you're not able to be with us today and you want to check out Godfather's with their lunch buffet, open 7 days a week, just $6.50, including the salad bar. Or if you need delivery at any time, the kids are busy, you want to do something before the football game, during the football game, I mean, you're going to be watching football maybe at home pay-per-view, they'll deliver 234-9444, 234-9444. They're open 7 days a week. And don't forget to save even more by getting Godfather's coupons online at godfatherspizza.com. Not hard to remember, godfatherspizza.com. They'll save you money on your pizza, and you can get up there with that buffet, $6.50 from 11 to 2 all 7 days. Includes the salad bar, ESPN on the big screen TVs, so you can enjoy and not miss a moment of sports while you're up there. Stop by and see them today or any day. Open 11 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, and on your weekends, Friday and Saturday, 11 to 11. Godfather's Pizza in Kearney, North 2nd and 42nd in the Archway Plaza, just west of Complete Nutrition, one of our many sponsors here for the Big Red Lunch. We are going to take a break. Our weekly Loper Link with UNK soccer coach Mike Munch is coming up next.
Now here's a report on what's going on at the Nebraska State Fair. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550's news director Tyson Hebronik has the latest.
Good morning with another report from the Nebraska State Fair. I'm Tyson Hebronik for Platte River Radio. Well, the weather may have taken a slight turn for the worse as rain is in the forecast for much of the day in the city of Grand Island, but that'll give you plenty of opportunities to check out some of the brand new facilities that the Nebraska State Fair has to offer, like the 4-H FFA building. They've got the Thompson Arena and the Ag Arena and the Outdoor Arena, and of course the Expedition building all have things going on today. First of all, at 10 o'clock this morning in the Fairport 4-H FFA building, they will have the creative curriculum from hands to head to heart to health that will once again be going on at 10 o'clock this morning. At 11 o'clock this morning in the same building, they'll have the Imagination Station for digital technology and creative activities. Turning our attention over to the agriculture, livestock, and unique expeditions that will be going on at 12 o'clock this afternoon, the team penning competition will be going on in the Thompson Arena. The Ag Arena will feature the Open Jackpot Market and Breeding Feeder Show at 6 o'clock this evening. And at 6:45, hopefully by the time the rain clears up, in the Outdoor Arena, the Tractor Challenge will be going on tonight. And of course, all the exhibitors that are at the Nebraska State Fair will not be bothered by the rain. They're in the brand new Expedition Building facility. So don't let the rain spoil your plans to attend the Nebraska State Fair. It's a grand affair, the Nebraska State Fair in Grand Island. For Platte River Radio, I'm Tyson Hebronik.
We'll have reports six times every weekday during the Nebraska State Fair at 11 past the hour, between the hours of 10 and 5 each day, on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
For exciting high school football action every Friday night, keep it right here and on our World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Here on ESPN Friday night, it's a Tri-City battle as Kearney Catholic travels to Hastings St. Cecilia, and it's the Battle of Hastings as Senior High takes on Adams Central on 1230 KHAS. On Classic Hits, 98.9 FM, Pleasanton will be at Amherst, and on The Breeze, 94.5, Blue Hill at Sutton. It's high school football action coming your way this Friday night. Our Wednesday Loper Link segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show is going to get us back to soccer. We're coming up to the home opener next Tuesday, and Mike Munch is going to join us in a second. But our Loper Link brought to you every Wednesday by the College Store, 1420 West 24th, with your textbooks, the cheapest guaranteed. You went to class in the last couple of weeks, you thought, look how expensive that textbook is. I don't need it. Then you found out, uh-oh, right where you need to go, the college store. Ask the manager for details. You can even shop online. I hear the kids are doing that these days. TheCollegeStore.com. And by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons. They have the loans, and they can get you set up as you're moving in for college here in 2010. Coach Mike Munch does join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are two games in, and we're in the same spot we were a year ago with this UNK soccer team, setting it 1-1, getting a nice win over Wayne State, then traveling up to beautiful North Dakota at this time of the year, and playing a solid first half. They're able to get a couple of goals on the board in the second half. Your analysis of the first two games so far?
Well, I think we've played very well. Of the four halves that we played three really good halves. Like you mentioned, the start of the second half of the Mary game, we had a little bit of a letdown. But even in that regard, we came back late in the game and really were pressing and had a really nice chance to score a goal and maybe put some pressure on them at the end. It didn't happen, but in comparing last year to this year, we're much better off where we are and how we're playing.
What has changed so much from last year to this year? The depth of this team, is that one thing?
Well, I think it's just the overall talent level. You know, we have better athletes. We have better soccer players that have joined with the group that was left from last year's team. And now we have, 26 kids who can go out there and play. And it's not just a few here or there. It's the whole team. So we definitely are deeper. But we're more athletic. We're more technical. And we're just a better soccer team.
Talking with Mike Munch, he is the head soccer coach at UNK, playing on the road the first two games as opposed to playing at home last year. Differences with playing on the road?
Well, the first game that we played at Wayne definitely is different because we're playing on grass, and we haven't even practiced on grass in preseason, so that was just a little bit of an adventure, but we were a little sloppy maybe for two or three minutes, but, we overcame that and played really well in the second half of that game. Should have scored a couple of goals right off the start of the half. But anytime you are traveling, that's a little bit of a different feel. That's one of the reasons we played two games on the road in our preseason, was to try to get used to that. And the girls responded well. No complaints whatsoever on that part.
Coach, have you had somebody emerge as that true leader for this team?
Well, I think the kids that were sort of our leaders last year, Morgan Abbott is one of our captains. She's a leader. Talisha Crayson is a leader and a captain, but our two goalkeepers that are playing, Marissa Nade, Vanessa Leeper, they're leaders as well. So we do have some older kids that are taking some leadership responsibility, and that's good to see.
Coach, when we had you on before the season started about 3 weeks ago, you were talking about, and we brought up Vanessa Leeper, playing basketball, playing soccer. We were at the Loper Lunch last week when you guys were headed to Wayne, ran into Coach Chaney, and somebody brought that up to him, just in casual conversation. Hey, I see that you're letting Vanessa play soccer. He goes, if kids can do that, I'm not going to stand in their way. Did you guys have to discuss that? How does that all work out when you got a kid from a coaching standpoint playing two sports?
Well, yeah, you definitely want to visit and, just discover what the feelings of the primary coach is. We knew that Vanessa had an interest very early on, and, we were working our way through that process. And before the coaching change, we're still sort of in that feeling out process. And Kevin came in and was very open to what we were doing and gave us his blessing. That's something that I've always done as well in terms of the teams that I've had is, you let the kids do what they are talented at, and we feel that everybody benefits from that, but it is always something that you want to make sure that you can communicate and make sure that everybody's on the same page. I don't think that you would want half your team doing something like that, but in a special circumstance where somebody does have the talent, it's good to see that we're all on the same page and we're all going forward.
Coach, home opener is up next. Augustana rolls into town on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. What do we know about them?
In terms of how they set up on the field and things like that, not a lot. They play their first two openers this weekend, so we'll get some scouting reports on them from the two opponents that they play. They play two RMAC teams this weekend, so we'll spend some time this weekend on the particulars. We do know that they were picked on the top half of the conference poll, their preseason poll. They've done well in the preseason games. They beat a UNO team that's always very strong. So we, you know, we expect a tough game.
Anytime you can beat UNO, it's a woohoo! In this, it was a record crowd last year for the home opener. It's going to be hard to duplicate that, but the excitement level to try and get some fans out there next Tuesday.
Well, certainly, and the fact that it is a Tuesday night, we don't play many Tuesday night games. Everybody will be on campus, the community will be in town, there shouldn't be a lot of other conflicts. John McBride told me this morning that we're going to have the band out for the game, so you know, there is going to be a lot of excitement, and hopefully, you know, even though if we can't get 3,200 fans in here, we can still get a pretty good crowd.
Well, we'll let everybody know. We'll keep pepping it up, and let's see if we can start off the home season like we did last year with a victory. I know it's going to be a little bit tougher. Mike, best of luck, and enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week.
Very good. Thank you.
You bet. Mike Munch, head soccer coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. On today's Lumber Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, we have the loans, and by the College Store. Hey, Lopers, they are there with your textbooks, supplies, and tons of Loper gear to follow the soccer, the volleyball, the football, whatever team you want to follow. It all says Loper on the front. They've got the gear. Stop by south of the Health and Sports Center or online at thecollegestore.com. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, continue with our first Husker lunch over in Grand Island, and we'll be back with more, including Bob Jensen, right after this.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's anytime emergency glass service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
Live from Progressive.
It's time for Tips from Flo.
Tips from Flo.
Here's a tip about our loyalty program.
Loyalty program.
The savings don't stop when you switch. You're automatically enrolled on day one, and you keep earning great discounts and benefits. And it's free.
It's free.
Are you just repeating everything I say?
Kinda.
Rewarding loyalty. Now that's Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Cumulative benefits are limited. Not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Sears Automotive Center knows that when you get your car back from the shop, you don't want to feel like you've been taken for a ride. That's why the Sears Blue Automotive Crew offers Price Match Plus to get you the best price guaranteed. Come see for yourself at the Summer Safety Event. Through September 9th, save on all tires, all tire brands, all tire sizes. Plus get $70 cash back by mail with a purchase of four Michelin tires. And get a $19.99 conventional Valvoline oil change with no shop fees. Visit SearsAuto.com for more great deals. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun in spots today with showers and storms affecting the area as well. A few of them have the potential of becoming severe with a high of 80 with an east wind at 10 to 15. Back to 62 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
And we're back here at Grand Island Home Federal with our first big red lunch of the season. Sean Callahan's going to stop a moment. Then, of course, he speaks here at 12 noon to the masses. And the room filling up here in the lower level of Grand Island Home Federal. Next week, we're going to be over at the Motor Inn in Shelton. The following week, we're going to be in Kearney at Cunningham's Journal. And we'll be back in Grand Island at the end of the month. So we're all over the place over the next few weeks with the Doug and Daddy Show and with the Big Red Lunches. Coming up, Western Kentucky head football coach Willie Taggart will join us on the program. We'll talk to Sean Callahan, but it's Wednesday.
Week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
And that means a Huskerland Prep Report, and we are welcoming back into the program Bob Jensen with the first week of games, week zero in the book, and some big-time games in the area and also encompassing the state with the number one and two teams playing. And Bob, welcome back. We got our first taste of football. Did you survive, and did you see something that you liked?
Well, I did survive. And speaking of first taste, I'm wondering if Daddy's had a chance to tear into any drumsticks yet. That is what there's probably some sort of NCAA record he could go after there, I would think.
I'm going to be honest with you. I got the State Fair flavor coming to Grand Island. So at the gas station, we stopped and ate a corn dog this morning, Bob.
Well, there you go. Nothing says, top of the morning quite like a corn dog. So
I didn't know how much mustard a guy could put on a corn dog, and I did see that today. But Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we get to this week, Bob, what stuck out last week? There was a great game between Broken Bow and St. Paul, Elm Creek and Burwell coming down to the wire. Our game, Revenevent, Donovan Trumbull, we saw a lot of the teams that were powerful that might be down. Well, they weren't really down. They still played good football. What stuck out to you?
Well, among those three games, two things come to mind. There's probably nothing more exciting. There have been movies been made about guys who wind up being high school football heroes on the last play of the game. And when you kick a field goal to win a game like Burwell did, or you have a touchdown pass on the last play of the game like St. Paul did, those are lifetime memories for everybody involved, including the guys that didn't win. And as far as Ravenna goes, that was a pretty powerful performance. I mean, to come right out and kind of take it to Donovan. Now we'll see where. Frankly, I'm not too concerned about Ravenna because they pretty much have a proven track record. They're going to win football games. I will be curious to see how Donovan deals with this. They kind of got shut down in a major way. It'd be nice to see them come back and kind of get back on the right track. We'll see where they go.
Robert, I've got to ask you, though, you mentioned one of those final plays. The St. Paul upsetting Broken Bow had to be one of the biggest shocks in the state.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Broken Bow, I'll tell you what was more shocking to me, and then shocking is maybe too strong a word even, but, the way that Broken Bow played through the playoffs last year, that's what everybody remembers is how strong they were in the playoffs, how much they made St. Cecilia work, how close they came to upsetting what turned out to be the state champions in the semifinals. Thing is, St. Paul's got a lot of people back. Now, I do understand, and I don't have this confirmed, so why am I mentioning it on the air, but I understand that maybe Matt Costello, the real nice linebacker from St. Paul, got hurt in that game, which is a bummer. But St. Paul's got, again, that's a team that won a playoff game. In fact, they've won a playoff game, I think, the last couple of years. And they've got a lot of people back. They're a team that we actually stuck in the top 10, which I don't know if that makes it right or not, but there they sit. So, again, where do you go from here? Broken Bow has an awful lot of holes to fill. They do have Nathan Scott and Adam Pratt, though, which are two of the probably top 10 players in C1, though, to kind of lead them from here on out.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show. It's our first Big Red Lunch of the season here in Grand Island at Home Federal. Sean Callahan's going to be speaking. We're going to talk to him in a moment. Ed Littler's over here. So if you didn't get to see, and Bob didn't, we haven't got to see it, but how St. Paul scored on that final play of the game, the Central Catholic St. Paul game, which we'll talk about in a moment, is the game of the week. And so they do that on their Thursday night segment, and he's got the video of that game-winning play. So if you want to see it, if you're a St. Paul fan or just like football, check that out. Bob, also last week, just mentioning the haves and the have-nots. Kearney could be down. Nope, they win. Hastings has been down. It didn't work out so well. Adams Central coming off a great year. They still go out and pile up Sydney. Northwest struggled in their first game. Aurora rolled. I mean, some of these bigger schools, same story, different chapter. But Grand Island, a heartbreaking loss at Norfolk. A 4th-and-12 converted, and then a 34-yard pass was less than 30 seconds to go on 3rd-and-long, and Norfolk wins what had to be an exciting game.
Oh, yeah, and that's just it. I mean, that is really rare in the big schools to see that many points scored, for one thing, in the first game of the year, at 35-31. It is a tough loss for Tomlin's bunch. But, again, they lost to a quality program. Norfolk is somebody who's really, you know, take a look at the state basketball tournament last year. Look at last year's football playoffs. You know, Norfolk boys sports right now are kind of at a high tide. So, again, like so much that happens that first week, we really need to see another game to kind of get a better gauge for what's happening. I do know this much, and I've said it before, we've said it before, Tomlin's staff will get the most out of what he's got. Now, I don't know if that's going to be enough to win 8 or 9 games, but they're going to play winning football. And as far as Kearney goes, that was just one of those deals where getting a win and kind of getting some varsity experience for all those new starters, that's going to be really important. Again, I don't know that Brandon's team is probably headed for the state finals, but I think it's another program where those kids max out with, you know, what you see is what you're going to get. And, that was a real important win for them.
Bob, obviously we look at this week, and you don't have to look very far down that Class A schedule before you see a 1-versus-2 spectacular matchup in West versus South and Millard.
Yeah, I've already parked my car near the stadium. I figured that way I'd have a fighting chance. It'll be mayhem. We don't have a lot of football games in the state that draw huge crowds. This one, I would guess, 7,000 people, I think, is a realistic expectation. Miller South, the defending champion. Millard West, the defending runner-up. I don't know. I like South to win that game. I think they've got quite a few kids that are real playmakers, especially in that offensive backfield. There's their new quarterback came out and had a great night. I think that's going to be it'll be a tremendous game. I like Miller South to win it. But, number one against number two this early in the season, it's certainly a measuring stick, not just for those two teams, but, for the entire class.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep with us for another couple minutes on our Wednesday get-together. You know, it's kind of weird when we talk about the big Class B matchup. It's McCook-Aurora, but for the first time in a number of years, McCook is going to be the decided underdog here.
Yeah, decidedly. I'll be honest, I was disappointed in McCook that first game, scoring only 14 points, realizing that they are playing quite a few younger kids. Talk has it that that sophomore class has got a lot of potential. Well, there's a difference between potential and varsity production, and I don't think Scott's Bluff is necessarily probably going to win 10 games this year, and so to beat them by only 7 points, disappointing. Could they have been looking ahead to Aurora? I can't imagine anybody would want to look forward to playing Aurora, but they might have been. That's a possibility. But Aurora, again, another program that's at high tide, lost so many players from last year. You know, Andrew Rodriguez is the most notable of them. But I'm telling you, Aurora has got playmakers of their own with that Tyson Brockmeyer quarterback. Their offensive line maybe takes a little bit of a step back, but that's not just Rodriguez, but the Jamie Bergmark, who I talk about all the time because I thought that kid was as good as anybody on that line playing high school football last year. And so, Aurora is a decided favorite. It was interesting. Both them and Crete, 1 and 2 in our ratings anyway, absolutely hammered people on opening night. It could get a little scary for McCook on Friday.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to drop down to some smaller schools. Just get a quick thought on Hampton-Giltner and then the game we're doing, Pleasanton-Amherst.
Yeah, there's a couple really nice games. The thing is, we talked about this earlier, but talking with Coach Jeff Ashby there at Giltner, you lose a guy like Nate Most, who's an all-time great, and it seems kind of screwy to say about somebody who's 18, 19 years old, but the numbers don't lie. One of the all-time great passing quarterbacks in our state's history. You lose him, and where do you go? Well, you shuffle people around. You have a better offensive line, which is what he told me. He thought his line would be better this year than it was last year. And you go out and just hammer people. And Hampton, you know, the same thing. Hampton had some big hits. Alex Dosey, a three-time All-Stater, he's gone. But they've got good football players. And again, these are two programs that are used to winning. I think that there'll be a lot of points scored in this game. It's going to take the high 30s, I think, to win that ball game. And then as far as Pleasanton and Amherst, the old Fort Kearney Conference, a great rivalry game that hasn't been played in a while. We've talked to players on both teams. They seem very anxious to kind of size each other up. Both those schools took some big hits. Best player on the field is going to be Garrett Reese, the big kid from Pleasanton, who I saw him up at picture day. Kid looks great. Here's the thing, though. You know, this is what's not fair about getting older, okay? He put on 25 pounds from last year, and people are raving about how good he looks. I also put on 25 pounds in the last year. I haven't heard a word.
Okay? Bob, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Looking good. Say, we've got just a minute left, Bob, before we move on here. I want to get a quick thought. Hastings St. Cecilia, Kearney Catholic. We got Mary Stirrup just popped in here for the big red lunch. We were talking with her. I mean, St. Cecilia, Kearney Catholic, you want this to be a close game, but this is where St. Cecilia's run of domination begins, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there won't. I can't imagine that St. Cecilia will play a close game in the regular season. I mean, just the way the schedule sets up, you know, they're high school kids, so you know, I'm not saying it won't happen, but just you know, at first blush, they're just a lot better than everybody they're going to play. They seem to be a lot better than anybody else in the class, but I think the same thing happened to the Ravenna basketball team a few years ago. So you can't rule everything out, but I would certainly think the St. Cecilia would have its way against a Kearney Catholic team that's got some good athletes, some good young athletes, and I just don't think they're quite in a position where maybe it's going to work real well for them this first time out.
Well, Bob, we'll wrap up our weekly segment. Talk to you Friday on the Scoreboard Show, and again next Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have great travels. Enjoy the games.
Yeah, absolutely. And might I say, I can't help I keep hearing about the Western Kentucky coach, Mr. Taggart. The last Mr. Taggart I knew about was that guy in Blazing Saddles. I wonder if it's the same guy. Maybe, maybe not.
You're dating yourself.
I am.
Take
I'm the
care,
only
Robert.
One that would say yes.
Always a pleasure. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, joining us here. Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Callahan is going to join us here in just a second. We'll get his thoughts from the press conference yesterday and what is going on with the quarterback situation and get a quick thought on Nebraska and Western Kentucky. So we will talk to Sean here in just about 30 seconds, and then he's going to be out there talking to the folks here at Grand Island Home Federal in our first Big Red Lunch. We're looking forward to that, and should be a great preview. We've got well over 100-125 people that are already here, and they're still streaming in for the 12 noon get together. And Sean, welcome back out to Central Nebraska, man. I know you're getting out here more with the married life, and congratulations.
I've got family out here.
Yeah,
now.
See there.
Yeah,
you go.
How was his birthday go last night?
There wasn't much of a celebration because I didn't get home until almost 9 o'clock after a Big Red wrap up. But you know, my wife's going to Omaha tonight to spend time with some of her friends and celebrate more tonight, so she'll. But we celebrated earlier in the weekend. Her parents are in town, so we were able to have a good birthday weekend at least.
All right. Is there any more news since Bo Pelini spoke yesterday? Since Sean Watson spoke after practice? Since your show last night? Is anything new?
Well, you know, Watson said last night that they do have a plan in place, or they've talked about plans. You know, in terms of they don't want to release that plan officially, and you know, I get the impression we're not going to know anything at all until kickoff. Bo Pelini talks one more time this week on Thursday. He won't be at the Big Red Breakfast on Friday. Carl Pelini will be there instead. So we'll hear Bo one more time, but I think a lot of people just assume it's going to be Zach Lee, but I'm telling you, just from everything I've heard throughout the off season and throughout fall camp, I would not be surprised if Taylor Martinez got the start. I think when you listen to what Bo said yesterday, and he goes, I don't want to make a circus environment out of this decision. If it was Zach Lee, there wouldn't really be much of a circus environment. I think everybody would be like, well, duh, we thought this all along. Zach Lee was the starter last year, where you start the new guy that's never played. That would create kind of a circus-type environment and kind of create a lot of pressure leading into the game.
Sean, wouldn't you think, though, the pressure leading into the game would be better to put the pressure on the kid heading into Western Kentucky instead of the next week when the more chips are on the table, and then the next week versus Washington?
You know, there's just different theories and ways you can phrase it, but I just think Bo Pelini's stance all along has been this way with the competition, and he hasn't done it with any position. I mean, not just quarterback. He hasn't released a depth chart or named a starter, even though we pretty much know all the starters right now on this team, maybe other than the safety positions and
left tackle.
But I think Jeremiah Searles gets to start a left tackle. Then, you know, will P.J. Smith or Anthony West start at the other safety spot with DeJuan Gomes? Things like that we don't know other than the quarterback. And, you know, running back, I'll be curious who gets that first snap of running back. I assume it's going to be Helu, but, you know, Burkhead, it wouldn't surprise me to see him take the first snap either.
Has anybody, and I've been trying to listen all the time, has anybody mentioned Wildcat during fall camp?
I asked Burkhead that on Monday, and I said, have you guys worked on it or started running it at all? And he said, oh, yeah, we've worked on it in camp, but I don't really want to talk about it any more than that. It's kind of one of those things. I don't know if we'll see it this week. You know, I would think they'd want to run it at least in one of the games leading into Washington just to kind of get some reps in a game. But
Make them prepare for it. Make Washington prepare for it. Spend time on it.
And then other than that, maybe we just won't see it at all. I mean, maybe we won't see it at Washington. You just never know how they want to play that and, you know, when they want to bring it out. But obviously we know it was very successful. And Taylor Martinez almost can run that type of play too. I mean, that's what's intriguing about him. You know, he's one of the 5 or 10 fastest guys on this football team right now. And I think the quarterback position, Bo wants a guy that can run back there. I think that's just kind of the, you know, the Holiday Bowl. Zach Lee carried it 18 times. And I think the quarterback position for Nebraska is something that, you know, they want a guy that's a strong running threat back there. And that's why I kind of have always, you know, leaned against Zach Lee being the starter just after everything I heard over the offseason since January.
Sean, don't you think this is the most comfortable that you ever saw Coach Pelini heading into a season, certainly with the depth they've established there?
No question. I think especially the first couple of weeks, you know, with his – I mean, he's really only had one bad day with the media. And other than that, you know, it's been a pretty good fall camp with Bo talking to him every day. And, yeah, you can just sense the comfort level he has. I mean, this team has all the pieces in place. They have depth on the offensive line, the defensive line. They've got a great secondary. They've got great running backs, receivers, tight end. They pretty much have everything right now except the quarterback position figured out. And they feel like they have three capable guys. They just don't know what direction they want to go. And I found it interesting, Jeff Jamrock hinted on Big Red Wrap-Up last night. I don't know if you guys listened to him or not, but he said that Florida had success running a two quarterback system during their national championship year. And I don't know what Coach Jamrock was kind of hinting around when he said that. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they went with a two quarterback system, you know, for part of this year.
And kind of the same thing. Leak was a thrower, kind of a Martinez, and Tebow came in kind of like Cody Green would be, a bruiser that you didn't ask to throw the ball a lot.
Well, would it surprise you at all, Sean, if Cody Green was two and Zach Lee was third?
No.
On the step chart?
I mean, nothing would surprise me. If they did a two quarterback system, it wouldn't surprise me if Taylor was the one and Cody was the two, or if they're co-one and they play them both. I don't know. You hear so much, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, I mean, at all, if Taylor took that first snap and played the first quarter. Second quarter, Cody Green took the snaps. I mean, that's a scenario that I could see happening and wouldn't surprise me at all.
We're going to talk to Western Kentucky coach Willie Taggart next. They're not good. If this was somebody better, would we know by now?
I don't know.
Would it matter? I guess, would it matter? Would it make more of a difference if we were playing a quality opponent?
I don't think so. I asked Sean Watson, I go, when you went into this thing, did you think that it was going to take 4 weeks and you weren't going to have anything figured out officially by that point? And he goes, no. If we knew, we would say right now. So I truly believe Watson on that. And I think they have a good idea what they want to do, but I still think they want to see at least two of those quarterbacks play significantly in the game on Saturday, and it might even carry over into the Idaho game as well before they really have to kind of figure out things officially.
Give me a young receiving threat other than Kenny, Paul, McNeil. Who's that?
Quincy Enunwa. I mean, okay. The kid's had a hell of a camp. Kid out of California, played in one of the number one ranked high school programs in the country. I think he's going to play. Andrew Rodriguez, they're preparing him to play. Those will be the two freshmen of the offensive guys that have a great chance to see the field on Saturday.
Your prediction for Saturday's game?
I'm going to go Nebraska 55, Western Kentucky 7.
Yeah, not a shutout. Not a shutout.
See, I'm going to text Craig right now
to make him mad at Sean.
Well,
he wanted a shutout.
Could be the fourth string defense in by then. Sean, have fun with the first chat, and we'll see you about every other week heading back out here.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. Sean Callahan from HuskersIllustrated.com and doing such a great job. He'll be with us every other week. Him and Steve Sipple will alternate who comes out and chats to the folks in central Nebraska. As we said, next week we're in Shelton at the Motor Inn. In a couple of weeks we're in Cunningham's in Kearney. Then we're back to Grand Island for September 22nd, the week after the first test of the year against Washington. Coming up on the Doug and Danny Show, Western Kentucky coach Willie Taggart. We'll find out about them. They're just worried about them. He was at Stanford last year, Tony. He coached Toby Gerhardt. It has to be a whole different atmosphere. He played at Western Kentucky. He was a star at Western Kentucky. But that's when they were 1AA in the old day, winning national championships.
Yeah, you know, something different. And, you know, talk about a different recruiting base. You go to, you know, Stanford, where things are pretty limited to, you know, you go back and recruit a variety of kids. But the program, the stature of the program, way different in another direction as well.
Outstanding stuff. Whitey Richardson just came in. We'll find out more about his horse and report back to you. Willie Taggart, head football coach at Western Kentucky, joins us after this on the Doug and Danny Show.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Hi, it's Colin Coward. Going to the post office can take so much time out of a busy schedule. I have a way to bring the post office to you, Stamps.com. It's an approved and licensed vendor of the U.S. Postal Service. All you need is your computer, printer, and Stamps.com to buy and print official U.S. postage for all your letters and packages. It's like having a post office at your fingertips 24/7. It's easy to use and it's convenient. No more trips to the post office standing in line behind GERT. Plus, Stamps.com was awarded the 2010 Software Product of the Year at the American Business Awards. I've used it and friends use it. Quit standing in line behind GERT. Try Stamps.com with my special offer. No risk trial. Plus a $100 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $45 of free postage. But only if you use my name, Colin. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the homepage. Type in Colin. Stamps.com. Use my name, Colin.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
The regular season begins to wind down.
The race for divisional titles and wild card berths heats up.
It's a ball game being played each day.
Listen. listen for the game of the week every Sunday night on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550 AM.
Swing and a drive deep to right field. This one is gone, a home run.
And we'll bring you playoff action as well.
Plus the World Series
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We sort of sent a message on that one.
1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun in spots today with showers and storms affecting the area as well. A few of them have the potential of becoming severe with a high of 80 with an east wind at 10 to 15. Back to 62 tonight. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
It is game week, Daddy, and finally we get to watch some football, real live, non-ESPNU classic. It's the real stuff, Saturday night, and it's going to be a packed house again. Western Kentucky rolls in, some connections there, and they're going to get a chance to take on the 8th-ranked Huskers on Saturday night.
Yeah, we're pleased to be joined by the head coach, Willie Taggart. First time on the Doug and Daddy Show, first year at Western Kentucky. Coach, good morning, and thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, Coach, I guess the immediate question is something that we chatted about. What's it been like in your time so far at Western Kentucky? Tell us about what you found when you got back to the program and where you think it's at as you get ready to head into this first game.
When I got here, I found that we had a program that had developed some really bad habits and negative mentality, you know, and all those things come with losing, you know. So a team that was in desperate need of a culture change, you know, and that all started with our staff, you know, having to change our mentality, the way we do things around here, you know, guys that didn't fight, you know. So we've been working on getting better in all those areas, and I can honestly say we've improved throughout spring ball and training camp.
I take it's been harder to improve probably the mental state than it has been the X and O side of things.
No doubt about it. And I knew going in that that's going to be the biggest challenge, you know, because, again, once you lose that many games, you develop some really, really bad habits that's hard to break. And that's going to be our job as coaches to continue to try to get those guys out of it and, you know, where they can handle adversity a lot better than what they had in the past.
Western Kentucky coach Willie Taggart's joining us here on ESPN's Doug and Daddy Show. It's kind of something that Stanford turning its program around. You've got a chance to be a part of that. Do you take anything from there, or what was your game plan when you went in to try and get the mentality turned around? Because winning does that, but you haven't had a chance to play football games yet.
Right. I'll try to find it. Follow the same blueprint that we had when we went out to Stanford. It was successful. You know, and we eventually turned that program around. We had some really significant wins, and which got everything started in the right direction. And I truly believe that's what's going to need to happen here if we want to get this program where we want to get it.
Coach, was there anything specific that you took that you actually did that you can tell the fans about?
We just changed the mentality. You know, we're not going to settle. You know, we're not going to sit around and settle for just anything. You know. And change our mentality for expecting people to give us anything. We got to go out and take it. And no harm. Can't expect for anybody to give us anything. We learned that last year. Nobody's going to give you anything. They're going to make you work for it, and we got to do it, you know, and just trying to get these guys to believe again, you know, and that's something they hadn't been able to do for a while, so.
Well, I'm sorry, Coach. Somebody's really had to battle and change your opinion about him, because we understand he was in your doghouse. Now, as a quarterback, Kawan Jakes, he's proven a lot to you, though, and you've named him as a starter.
Yes, he's a guy that didn't make a really good decision back in the spring. You know, him not really understanding what I was looking for a quarterback. And I truly believe that, one, is the first time he had someone get on him that way, and then till he learned from it, you know. And I told him, if he's going to be the quarterback for our team, he's got to change a lot of the things that he was doing, and he did, you know. And he had a heck of a summer conditioning, and he looks different, you know. He looks a part now, and then he had a really good training camp, you know. He was really surprising the way he can throw the ball.
Head football coach at Western Kentucky, Willie Taggart, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what a way to start your career off as a head coach, rolling into one of the most storied buildings in all of college football. I know that's something that years from now you'll look back on, but I'm sure just like the players, you can't really concern yourself with that. What are your expectations Saturday night?
I just want our guys to go out and play hard, go out and compete. You know, something we hadn't done in a while around here, competed throughout the game, and that's one thing I want to look for, a team that don't give up. You know, we're going to be hit with some adversity in this game, and I want our guys to stand up to it, you know, and fight through it, you know, because once we can do that, I think we'll start rolling in the direction that we need to go, and that's part of the process, you know, understanding how to deal with adversity and not quitting and just keep fighting. You know, good things happen.
Coach, what concerns you about this Nebraska Cornhusker team?
They're good in everything. They're really good. They're probably one of the best teams in the country. No doubt about it. They're going to have a chance to win a national championship. And, you know, they're that good. They have a chance to be getting the best team in the country. So everything about them concerns me, to be honest with you. You know, but, I mean, we got to play the game. You know, we got to go out and play the game and do our best. We got to be sharp. We can't beat ourselves.
Western Kentucky coach Willie Taggart joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, as you continue to try and make your team the best that it can possibly be, we understand you've got a really good tight end. Talk about when the Husker fans are sitting there watching the game, maybe what you've been pleased with and what they should look for. Maybe, I mean, every college team has somebody that can do some good things. What are you pleased with about your team right now?
I like the way guys are buying in and working. Our guys have really worked hard this training camp. You know, you can see a difference from spring ball into where we're at now. Guys are totally different. They're buying into what we've been teaching them, and they're starting to believe, you know. And those are all good things. But like I told them, the true test is going to be on Saturday, you know, and see how all that hard work we put in on off season. Now it's time to put it in on the field, you know, so interesting to see how they respond to it.
Coach, from media sources, we understand you're going to try and run the West Coast offense. Bo Pelini doesn't buy that at all, saying, we don't know what to expect. It's just confusion out there. Is it full West Coast 100%, or you want to mix things up and try and run the ball more since you got Bobby Rainey back there?
Well, I'll tell you what, last year team was a big spread team, and that's the majority of our personnel. So we're not going to completely get rid of what we did, because we did do some good things last year. So we got to do things that's going to help us and what our guys know to do, but we're also going to try to do some new things with it. You know, but from a personnel standpoint, we're not exactly where we need to be, you know, to do the West Coast offense completely. But I'm sure you'll see some of the concepts from it.
Coach, tell us about the defense. You have Clint Bowen in with you. Sources down there seem to like that he's the defensive coordinator and like what he's starting to do with molding this defense. So what are you seeing on that side of the ball?
Our guys are, again, he has our guys playing hard, playing fast. And big thing is, you know, it's different. And I think our guys believe, because Coach Bowen, he's faced Nebraska for a number of years now, so guys believe in what they're telling them, and they're believing in the system, and, you know, they're fired up about it. And again, hopefully we can have some really good results from that.
Coach, if there is one thing that we've learned from Nebraska camp, is they've had a few injuries up here, season-ending injuries, 3-4 guys done for the year. How's your injury situation as you enter week one?
Well, I tell you what, we've been very, very fortunate to get through training camp with not many major injuries. We had one during our last full scrimmage, and other than that, we've been fairly healthy. You know, we had our bumps and bruises that normally comes with training camp, but nothing really, really majors. And, again, knock on wood, because that's been impressive and very appreciated, you know, going through training camp. But I tell you what, Nebraska's not going to be hurting any with those guys going. They're loaded.
Now, Coach, you've got to answer the question here. We're all familiar. Western Kentucky has one of the most recognizable mascots. But what exactly is a Hilltopper? You've been there. You know the tradition. Now you get to take it over. Tell us about what an actual Hilltopper is.
Full of energy. Full of energy. That's what a Hilltopper is. Full of juice. You know, we call that juice. We're full of juice. Anyone want to know what a Hilltopper? They're full of juice.
Well, Coach, I know that you want to get the program back to where it was when you were there and tearing things up as a football player. And everybody wants it to be turned around right away. I know coaches know that it's going to take some time to get things done. And what a way to start things off Saturday night.
I know. How about that against the number 8 team in the country. I got to start my coaching career off against that. How about that?
Well, something you're going to remember, hopefully for you guys, a little bit more of a positive way. But as we always say up here, hey, Coach, good luck at Kentucky, huh?
Hey, I appreciate you.
Playing the following.
Hey, Coach, how good's that Gearhart kid going to be in the NFL?
He's going to be the real deal. He's going to be the real deal. He's the perfect kid.
Toby Gearhart, of course, got a chance to coach him at Stanford. You know, somebody actually picked him in the fantasy draft last night. So, you know, that's a big deal, you know, when you get picked in fantasy draft.
He's special. He's different. He's one of those guys that come around every now and then.
He seems like a good kid, good head on his shoulders. Well, Coach, we'll let you get on with the day. Thanks for giving us time. And, again, we'll see you Saturday.
Hey, thanks, guys. You guys keep the country out there in Nebraska.
We'll do it. Thanks, Coach.
All right.
That's the only way we do it, Coach. That's the only way we do it. Coach Willie Taggart from Western Kentucky joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What a way to get inaugurated. Never been a coordinator. He's a running back coach, but he comes back home, first head coaching job, and he's got to roll into one of the most storied buildings in all of college football when the Huskers are good.
It's got to be scary. That's got to be real scary. I got to be honest. You know, you're nervous and you're hoping things are going to go well. But on top of everything else, you're going to play Memorial Stadium in front of 85,000.
You can hear the game on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, with all of the pregame starting at 1 o'clock. So if you're driving down, keep it on 94.5. We'll have all the action for you as you're driving down there. College football begins tomorrow night here on ESPN, Pittsburgh, Utah. We will have that ball game for you. Friday, it's high school football. Saturday, more college football, a doubleheader including Purdue and Notre Dame. And then we've got TCU and Oregon State, I believe it is, Saturday nights. Monday, we will have the Boise State-Virginia Tech game for you right here on ESPN Radio as well. Nebraska volleyball, you know, they actually struggled last night in the first set at Creighton, but they do win it, and they win it in straight sets yesterday, Daddy. And also, one more thing we don't want to forget, possibly sometime today while we're waiting to see who the quarterback's going to be, the Big Ten could announce as soon as today the divisions and the alignments and the schedule for the upcoming season.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if they split up Ohio State, Michigan, or whether they keep them together.
But don't forget, tomorrow we're going to give you a chance to win Kansas City Royal tickets and all of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, fed by the folks at Burger King, their new sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast muffin sandwich, just $1 every morning. Two locations in Kearney, also in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. And that's going to wrap things up on this edition of the Doug and Daddy Show for our first Big Red Lunch going on here at Grand Island Home Federal. We want to thank all the fine folks for joining us. Barry Sands, from president of the bank from your own hometown. We want to thank him and all the fine folks here. We want to thank Willie Taggart, the head football coach at Western Kentucky. We want to thank Sean Callahan. We want to thank Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep and our local link with UNK coach Mike Munch. Joe DeMeo joins us tomorrow. We've got quite a few more folks that we're going to hear from on tomorrow's show as well.
You know, 23 hours from now, Doug, we're going to be sitting there 7 hours away from real-life college football, 2 days away from the Huskers' go time. So looking forward to that. We're looking forward to having you back. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.